Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Before we proceed and examine chapter 24, I would like to address a few verses from the second half of yesterday's long chapter, wherein Hashem rebukes the false prophets and promises to punish them harshly. He warned the people that heed their delusional predictions. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They are filling you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of Hashem. They keep saying to those who despise me, Hashem says that you will have peace. And to everyone who stubbornly follows the inclination of his own heart, no harm will come to you. Hashem insists in chapter 23, I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and turned them back from their evil ways and deeds. Apparently, true prophets must demonstrate fealty to Hashem's laws and reproach those who violate Hashem's Torah. That is their primary duty, and revealing what the future holds is secondary. Only if they set the people back on the true path can their prognostications be taken seriously. Unfortunately, some of the teachers and preachers who were advising the kings could be swayed wittingly or unwittingly into saying what their audiences wanted to hear, interpreting their dreams according to their own fanciful wishes. So how can the people who are living in turbulent times and are so desperate for some security and encouragement know whom to trust and who is a charlatan? Apparently, there is a test to distinguish between true and false prophecy, alluded to obliquely in chapter 23, verse 28. Hanavi asher ito chalom yesaper chalom, vasher dvari ito yedaber divrei emet. Malateven et abar neum Hashem. This verse is very difficult to decipher, and is typically translated as follows. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, and let the one who has my word speak truthfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares Hashem. Given that all prophets receive communication from God through visions and dreams, it is hard to comprehend how this allows the people that hear them to distinguish between emes and shekel, the truth and a lie. Only Moshe Rabbeinu attained a level of prophetic communication with Hashem that did not entail dreams and visions. All other Nevi'im received their messages from God through trances, visions and dreams that required interpretation, as Hashem explained in Bamidbar, chapter 12. Pe el pe edaber bo, umar'eh velo bechidot, ubitmunat Hashem yabit. Radak explains that typically human dreams are the product of thoughts and feelings harbored when one is awake. They are products of the imagination and reflect real experiences that are mixed with one's fears and fantasies, and therefore include both fact and fiction. He cites Chazal in Masechet Brachot, who asserted that all human dreams have a measure of nonsense. In contrast, true prophetic dreams and visions do not mix the chaff of fantasy with the grain, which is verifiable truth. Furthermore, prophetic dreams are so powerfully vivid and compelling that the dreamer cannot shake them off as a product of a heated imagination. Thus, Hashem states in verse 29, Halo kodvari b'ka'esh ne'um Hashem u'chefatish yefotzetzela. Is not my word like fire, declares Hashem, and like a hammer that shatters a rock? Such statements allow a prophet to know if his dream is prophetic or a product of his fancy. But it does not give his audience a way of distinguishing whether the teller is truthful or lying. Thus, many commentaries refer to the criterion established in the Torah, in Devarim chapter 18, that asserts, quote, when a prophet speaks in the name of Hashem, if the thing doesn't follow or happen, that is the thing which Hashem has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. At first glance, this leaves little room for doubt. If the prophet's predictions do not materialize, he's a fraud. But as indicated earlier, the primary task of prophecy is to draw the listeners to obey Hashem. And if they repent, they can undo the harsh predictions of the true prophet, as corroborated by various stories in the Tanakh. Rashi and Malbim, among others, point out that only good forecasts must materialize, whereas predictions of disaster can be overturned by tshuva. Apparently, then, not all genuine prophecies must come true. Therefore, Yirmiyahu will continue to elaborate in later chapters how to distinguish between a true prophet sent by Hashem and a Navi Shekel. And now we turn to chapter 24. As this chapter opens, Yirmiyahu describes a vision he experienced shortly after Nebuchadnezzar captured the king Jehoiachin and his entire court and sent them to exile. In this vision, he saw two containers of figs set in front of the Beit HaMikdash. Hadudecha te'enim tovot me'od, te'enei habakurot, v'hadud ha'echad te'enim ra'ot me'od, asher lo te'achelna meroa. V'yomer Hashem elai, ma ta roe, Yirmiyahu? V'omar te'enim? התאנים הטובות טובות מאוד, והרעות רעות מאוד, אשר לא תאכלנה מרוע. One basket had very good figs, like those that ripen early. The other basket had very bad figs, so bad they could not be eaten. Then Hashem asked me, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good, but the bad ones are so bad they cannot be eaten. Then Hashem deciphers the meaning of the first part of this vision in verses 5 through 8. Koh amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, kateinim hatovot ha'elu, ken akir et galut Yehuda, asher shilachti min ha'makom hazeh, eretz kasdim letova, v'samti eini alehem letova, והשיבותים על הארץ הזאת ובניתים ולא אהרוס, ונתתים ולא אתוש. ונתתי להם לב לדעת אותי, כי אני השם. והיו לי לעם, ואנוכי אהיה להם לאלוקים, כי ישובו אליי בכל ליבם. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, so will I regard the exiles from Yehuda, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans, for their good. I will keep my eye on them for the good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not destroy. I will plant them and not uproot. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am Hashem. They will be my nation, and I will be their God, when they will return to me with all their heart. One might have concluded that those first expelled from the land of Israel had committed the worst offenses, exceeding the sinfulness of those who had remained. But Hashem sets the record straight and explains that the banishment of Jehoiachin and the nobles of Jerusalem was letovah. not merely as punishment, but as a corrective that would give them perspective to contemplate their errors and opportunity to correct them. Nebuchadnezzar banished not only the royal family, but also the artisans, the military, the Talmidei Chachamim, and picked them just as they began to ripen. For figs that are left too long on the branches rapidly get infested and rot. Accordingly, the imagery suggests that those left behind would become even more corrupt and decadent. Thus Hashem secured a cadre of knowledgeable Jews who would, according to Abarbanel, use galut to search and find a meaningful relationship with Hashem, the All-Merciful. In contrast, Tzidkiyahu, the last Judean king, and his immoral compatriots that were left to govern the common people in Yehuda, festered into a cesspool of pagan atrocities, as symbolized by the basket of rotten figs, in verses 8 through 10. וחטאינים הרעות אשר לא תאכלנה מרוע, כי כה אמר השם, כן אתן את צדקיהו מלך יהודה, ואת שרה ואת שארית ירושלים הנשארים בארץ הזאת, והיושבים בארץ מצרים. ונתתים לזהבה, ונתתים לזוועה, לרעה לכל ממלכות הארץ. לחרפה ולמשל ולשנינה ולקללה בכל המקומות אשר אדיחה הם שם. ושילחתי בם את החרב ואת הרעב ואת הדבר עד תומם מעל האדמה אשר נתתי להם ולאבותיהם. As the bad figs, which can't be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says Hashem, so I will give up Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will even give them up to be tossed back and forth among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all the places where I shall drive them. I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, until they are consumed from off the land that I gave to them and to their fathers. The elites that remained in Jerusalem were condemned precisely because they imitated their Egyptian and Chaldean overlords, trying to find favors in the eyes of their colonial masters by adopting their cultural and religious practices. As a result, they are to become a zva'a and a ze'ava, as alluded by the variants of the kri and ktiv, that which is written and that which is pronounced. According to the writ, zva'a, they will become an object of horror to any observer. According to the Masoretic pronunciation, ze'ava, they will be tossed from one nation to another, from bad to worse. For as they try to escape captivity by the Chaldean masters, seeking refuge in neighboring countries, they will meet even harsher persecution and even death. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.